Welcome, everybody. Let me help you envision, explore, and execute your plans. This is Motivate Me, and I'm Lynette Renda. Today is all about business creation, construction, and control with Michael Dweck. Before we get started today, I just want to make sure you know you can go to motivatemepodcast.com, and there you're going to find our show notes, links to all of the resources mentioned. You'll find an application to be on the show. You'll have access to our email, and we can direct you to the Motivate Me Ultimate Support System Facebook page, because nothing matters more to me than to connect with my listeners. So I hope I can do that starting right now. Ladies and gentlemen, on the show today, we have Michael Dweck. Michael is the founder and president of BasicOutfitters.com, and his passion is business startups. So if you're out there and you have considered starting a business at all, let's see if your passions connect to where Michael's coming from. First of all, Mike, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm really excited.
I'm super excited to find out where this passion began for you, how it evolved. I mean, I know I've been on your website, basicoutfitters.com, and I immediately wanted the clothes, immediately. And I know my husband would look delicious in some of those things you have on there, so I have to check that out for him.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Now, you know that we start the show with a quote that's meaningful to you, and we know that your passion is business startups. Do you have something that is meaningful to you that you'd like to share with us?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. One of the quotes I often use is, when you get to the fork in the road, take it. It's by the late Yankee legend Yogi Berra. And it really doesn't mean anything. It's one of those quotes that you can interpret yourself when you have two options. Just go with the one that your gut is telling you. And that's kind of how I continue my path every day. So when I have some options, I take what really my gut is telling me.
And the thing is that, you know, sometimes when people get to that fork in the road, they do nothing.
Correct. And I've spoken to many people where they've gotten so hung up on, here are all my options. And then they get stressed out by the options and they don't actually do anything with it. And I've heard multiple people with jobs and starting different businesses. And if you don't just go for it, nothing's ever going to come about.
Well, yeah, because I think it gives time for doubt to creep in also, and laziness and the reality of how much work something might be. And, you know, what are other people going to think? And, well, I didn't succeed at this. So, you know, that probably means I won't succeed at this either. And it just leaves too much room to be complacent, I think.
I'd agree 100%. And I've seen it on multiple occasions. And everything you just said, I think, hit it on the head.
Thank you. So I want to know, what exactly is your passion? When you say business startups, tell everybody exactly what that means to you.
Well, my passion is having a vision and seeing it through. And that really stems from management and operations, which is my background, and effectively implementing processes. I really get a high from that. And that really motivates me and drives me forward. When I see a problem and when I see a way that work could be accomplished better, and I set out to fix that. And that really motivates me and it really excites me. And when you look at startups, we're in the startup culture now. And a lot of these startups are coming about because people are seeing problems and issues in their own life and they're trying to make changes. And a lot of these businesses that I read, Fast Company and Inc., it's all because there's a problem and the founder saw a vision and they wanted to change that. And that for me is something that I'm really passionate about.
You know, I'm a writer, so this reminds me so much of the fact that, you know, you're looking at a blank page.
Yes.
To me, you're looking at a blank page. Like when you start thinking about, you're creating a new business and you start envisioning, I'm sure, all these different processes that you put together to construct a successful business.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's interesting that you say that because my wife, who's really the creative one in the relationship, she's very, very talented. I always tell her, I'm not a creative person. I'm not a visionary. I just am an executor. I know how to get things done. And she was actually saying to me a couple of weeks ago, you know, look what you've done. You're starting from scratch. You are being creative in all the marketing efforts that you do and in developing the website and everything that you've done. There was no recipe. You created that recipe. And if you take a step back and you look at that, that's your creativity. So when you say the blank notebook, you know, the blank page, it's very applicable.
Well, yeah, because you brought a vision to life.
Yeah, absolutely. And when I got started, it really was because there was a void in the market and there was a void in my life and what I wanted in my shopping experience and in what I wanted in my closet. And I kind of saw the answer to it and I created it.
How would you describe your clothes for everybody?
We're really a service. We are a men's service where we really cater to a guy who is in the boardroom during the day, in the office, but then wants to kind of express himself at night. We offer something for all different types of personalities. But our service is really that we provide a one-stop shop and an accessible price point for men to just click a button and refill.
And the clothes, though, are super stylish and comfortable. I mean, really, yeah. I was impressed. Like, for real, I was impressed.
Thank you. So when I designed it, I really was looking for something that I liked. And I kind of have a quirky personality, and I like to wear a lot of different bright socks. But at the same time, I was working in corporate America, and I needed that jet black pair of socks when I had my meetings. And so I built and I designed the line really to cater to somebody like me. And really, quality was paramount. I needed to wear things that were comfortable. A lot of guys, you know, I'm based in New York City. We're very fast paced and, you know, I'm not changing multiple times a day. So you really need stuff that's going to, you know, last long.
How did this happen?
I was working in corporate America and I mean, I by no means like to shop. And I think a lot of men really identify with that as well. But I like to look good. And when I got married, we moved into this tiny little apartment in Manhattan. And my wife, who is a fashion designer, who has a ton of clothing, not to mention the shoes, basically said to me, you know, you get one drawer and everything you haven't worn in 3 months is going in the garbage. So she basically called me out on what I had been doing, which was I was like stockpiling like socks and underwear with holes in them that I really didn't wear, but I knew it was going to be a crazy undertaking to refresh. So I was like, oh, look, I have all this stuff. But she called me out and was like, you haven't worn any of this stuff and it's going in the garbage.
You know, I was doing this just this morning. I've been working on my closet upstairs a little bit each day and pulling things out and saying, that's it. I'm done with you. I'm done with you. I'm done with you. So I get it. I'm in the purging process.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know about you, but it was a real tough one for me. I don't know. I had like stories for these things. It was like, you know, I was like, I bought this in Paris 10 years ago from Gap. It was like Gap in Paris. It wasn't in Parisian, you know, but, you know, I started looking, you know, in stores and I started going to like Macy's and the Bloomingdale's and I was getting very overwhelmed with the shopping experience. There was underwear in one spot, socks in another. One was a 5-pack. One was a 10-pack. Really nothing made sense. And I was like getting really stressed out in those environments. And then a lot of my buddies were saying, why don't you just go online? There's so many like direct-to-consumer new companies out there. And there are. I went online. They all claimed that they were passing the savings along to the consumer because there was no retail costs. But yet, I was still finding underwear that was $28 a pop, $12 a pair of socks. It just was crazy. I mean, I'm a 28-year-old, and I'm newly married, and I wasn't going to spend my money on that. And so I just wanted to find a company that I could click a button, and I could customize my socks, and I could customize my underwear, and click submit and be done. And there was nothing like that out there, so I created it.
That's pretty cool, really cool. Now, what kind of hesitations did you have or challenges along the way transitioning into that? Where were you working before you started this?
That's a loaded, interesting question. While I was in college, I was working at Century 21, the department stores, and I was working in a number of different departments. And I guess I was destined for fashion from the beginning. And I was working in their legal department because I was planning on going to law school. Graduation approach, I realized that I didn't really want to be doing that. And I wanted to be doing something that I can give back to the community and I can do something that I really felt good about. And that's where I found my job. And my job was at Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center. I took on a entry-level position, basically doing customer service, patient interactions, and helping families with any of their needs while during the chemo process or the surgery process. It was pretty interesting first job out of college because it was pretty gut-wrenching, but it was exactly, it filled the void that I wanted, which was giving back to the community. I really actually fell in love with the work, and I rose pretty rapidly. I had five different promotions in five different years, and I quickly found myself as a manager, and I was really loving it, and I was really doing well because I finally figured out my niche. My niche was really, I'm a good manager. I was good at operations and making sure that things were running smoothly and effectively. I guess at the end of that fifth year was when I got married, and I saw this opportunity, and I said I was going to go do it. I had a lot of hesitations. I mean, I needed to make sure that it was a viable business option. I had to make sure that I was going to be passionate about it. You know, you have to really be passionate about what you do. And as cliche as that sounds, you got to want to wake up in the morning and roll with the punches.
That's not cliche to me at all.
No. Yeah, so those were some of my initial hesitations. And I really set out during my lunch breaks and at night, and I was doing all my market research, and I was making sure that it was a viable business option and that it was something that I could really get on board with. And I was multitasking. I was working in the hospital every day, and then at night and during my lunches, I was compiling market research. I was shopping in the stores. I was seeing what products were out there. And that's really when I realized, okay, we have a business here. This is something I can do. This is something I could build. And then that next seed of doubt came in, which was, how am I going to get the customers? And what do I know about building a website? And that's when I kind of had a little powwow with my wife. And we talked about, well, what are my strengths and what are my skills? And my strengths were, I could effectively run an operation. I can manage an operation. And it's not about me knowing coding on a website, and it's not me knowing about logistics and product development. It's about me finding the right people and finding the right freelancers and finding the right talent and surrounding yourself with talent and effectively executing that. Every time I had any seed of doubt, I took a step back and I kind of talked it through, and I saw, well, what are the positives? What are the negatives? And how can I execute this?
And you know, that really reminds me of when you have a house built. You know, and I know you're in the city and you have an apartment, and just affording your rent in the city is something you seriously had to be careful about too, I'm sure. When you build a home, it's the same thing. You have to hire all the experts and all the tradesmen. You don't do it yourself.
Correct.
It's similar there.
I think what's also a good piece of advice to anybody out there that when we're having this conversation is, you don't need to be the expert. You need to surround yourself with the experts, and you need to surround yourself with the talent and the people that are going to be go-getters for you and do the best for you, right? You don't know, right, exactly what you're saying. You don't know architecture, but if you're building a house, you're going to surround yourself with the best architect that you could pay for. But what you're going to want to do, and this is something that I really make sure to do in my business, is I try and learn the fundamentals and the rudimentary entry-level information about those topics. So
right.
I don't know the details of coding a website, but what I can tell you is I started learning about website development and what makes a good website, and then I found myself the best coder and the best web developer who could execute that vision, and I understood what they needed to get done.
Right. That makes a lot of good sense. I think being able to afford those experts is part of the challenge.
Oh, absolutely. What I will say is that I think that we're in a very interesting time, and we're in what I like to call, and I think I read it in Fast Company, was we're in the 1099 culture now. There's a lot of talent out there, and everyone's hungry, and everyone wants business. A lot of people this day and age are now freelancing. That's really how I run my business, with really talented freelancers. And yeah, it may cost you, but freelancers, you're not hiring a giant company and a corporate company to run these things for you. You're getting that one-on-one interaction. And it goes a lot further, in my opinion.
That makes a lot of sense. So what do you think you've learned about yourself through all of this?
I learned that whatever roadblock I hit, I can overcome. I get really frustrated really easily. And now I realize that I can get through things. I just need to take a step back and I need to just focus and prioritize. And there's a lot of things being thrown at you. I could effectively multitask and I can effectively get things done. I really learned that I could, if I just focus and I just calm down, take a step back and I assess the situation, I could really get through anything. You're always going to have roadblocks and you're always going to have difficult circumstances, but you can get through them if you take a step back and you just really assess and prioritize.
I'll tell you what, Michael, one of the conversations that we have a lot of on this show is something that I learned starting this business, which was I always thought that I had to have a stranglehold on everything, on what I needed to get done and wrestle it down to the ground. And, you know, I got this, I'm in charge. And then I realized that it's actually in the letting go of it, you know, and in the surrendering of it. So much of it just naturally works itself out in a timely fashion that I have a lot less to try and control, because it just starts rolling and challenges and obstacles seem to come my way. And it's like, I say to myself, don't overreact, give it a day or two, because you have until this day to worry about it. And I've noticed that I have a lot less worrying going on. Doesn't mean that I don't have to work hard, but I believe it and I work hard. And typically it's been falling into place. Do you find that to be true?
I find that 100% true. I mean, everything needs your attention. Things do tend to work themselves out. Being said is, I think for me, it's very important to prioritize and schedule things.
Isn't that hard? It's hard. I'm the same way.
It's so hard. And, you know, I was telling my wife last night, we're in this really fast-paced technological development stage in the world. And I'm overwhelmed by the amount of communication and media that's coming my way. You know, my cell phone, my emails. And if I just stop and I don't allow that to get to me, things work itself out. Those emails that are coming through, if you don't send that many, not as many are going to come your way. Or if you're not, right, freaking out about an email, you're going to take a step back and you're going to write a response that's a little bit more level-headed. And I definitely agree with you. And I think it's about finding the way that you're able to prioritize. You know, I think it's incredibly difficult to say, all right, I'm going to give it a couple of days and it's going to work itself out. But if you practice that and you kind of have some type of discipline, it definitely does.
Tim Ferriss, 4-Hour Work Week, that book does give you a whole new perspective on using your phone and checking your emails. Now, he is extreme. He checks it. I don't know if he checks his email only twice a day, or it could even be less than that. I can't necessarily check my social media as infrequently as he does. However, it does put in my head to shut your phone off and put it across the room for a couple hours while you're trying to be super productive is okay.
Yeah. Was it his book? I don't remember where it was. Time Vampires. You ever hear of Time Vampires?
I don't know if that was what he referred to that as, but it could be.
But it's the idea that these people just eat up your time, and email and cell phone, it doesn't allow you to think clearly because you're always fetching the next thing and you don't actually have time to clear your head and think about things logically, and it's just tasks. I happen to be very bad with, I need to respond to an email now, and I'm working on that. And somebody was telling me what they do is they leave their phone in their car when they enter the house, at night at least. So that way, when they get home, they have some type of work-life balance.
Right. That's a great idea.
Yeah. I can't do that because I don't have a car. I live in Manhattan. But what I do is I turn my... I like to get into the office early. I'm talking 6 to 9 a.m. is crunch time for me. But I turn my phone off at that time. No other emails are to be read, and I get quality work done. I think we're so inundated with information that we don't actually have time to think.
Right. And, you know, for me, doing interviews with people, it's like, oh, they're on right now. I know I can get them right now. You know what I mean? So yeah. If I respond right away, then it just works out better because our communication time is shorter. You know, it won't linger. We'll just, okay, here you go. And so a lot of times I will act. Or if I get, you know, an interesting email about somebody who wants to be on the show, I get excited about it, you know? So, I mean, it's hard. And I know with your business too, you have a lot, it's online. So you have a lot of different things that you can get into or get excited about or feel the need to take care of right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
So hopefully we have listeners out there and they're thinking, you know, wow, this is actually kind of cool speak because, you know, this is entrepreneur stuff. This is business startup. This is talking really about how I might be able to implement an idea I have and what it would be like to do that. And these are all the challenges that people who start their own businesses face, which I find super cool. So for my audience, is there a resource that you could recommend that could move them in this direction?
100%. I love, and I always feel like I'm plugging them, but General Assembly, if you haven't heard of them before, it's an organization that has classes. They do 2-hour classes, 1-day class, 3-week class, and there are different classes on new technology and things that you wouldn't learn in college and you wouldn't learn anywhere else. It's the entrepreneurial school and it's fairly inexpensive and they have amazing resources and amazing lectures. And I often find myself going there on weekends just to learn about things. And like I said before, like you don't need to know how to code a website, but you need to know the rudimentary goals of what you need out of a website. And they do that.
Is this generalassembly.com or is this a physical place that you go?
They have online and a physical place. So it's generalassembly.com where they have all the listings of all their classes and you could sign up if you want a specific class, you can just email them, I want this class. They'll let you know when they start offering it. It's generalassembly and they have amazing courses, really amazing courses. For all types of entrepreneurs.
And the school itself is in the city?
Yeah, their campus is in the city, but they have a few different offices.
Okay. And when we say the city here, we mean New York City because New York City is not far from me either. And so that's what we call it. I'm sorry. So yeah, they have campuses in the city, New York City and other locations. So that's interesting. I'm going to check that out for myself. There's always things that we need to learn. And what's really neat about that is that you can get schooled, you know, and get educated on topics that are specific to what you need in life at this time.
Absolutely. A lot of the classes in here are just things that, like, I would have never taken in college.
Like what?
Like Marketing 101.
Okay. And how long is the class?
It depends. They have on-campus full-time courses, part-time courses, and they have classes and workshops. And they have online and in-campus. I think they just opened one in Denver. They opened one in L.A., so they're actively moving. They have digital marketing 101, analytics, business analytics. They have finance, different types of classes that would help a new entrepreneur. You know, I got into this business and like I said, I was a operations and management director at a hospital. Yeah, I didn't know the first thing about accounting or finance, but I took a couple of classes here and they taught me what I need to know to run a business.
Now, do they have certifications and things like that, or is it just strictly for knowledge?
No, they do. I believe they do. I've never taken one. I can't say, but okay. I believe that they do.
I absolutely love, and I'm a former teacher, high school teacher, recently resigned, and I also am a writer. I have an MFA in creative writing. So, I mean, I've done a lot of education, and I just love that people are getting educated strictly for the learning, because that's the way it should be.
You know, it's interesting too, because I mean, I loved college, but you know, I couldn't wait to get out. It's interesting when you start to notice that like you have a thirst for knowledge and you want more and you're doing it on your own and you're not bound by grades and you're not, you tend to just have a little bit more of an open mind.
Yeah. Because what's at stake is greater than any of that. It's your business, your livelihood, the challenge, the want for success, the creativity, all of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so this part of the show is Motivate Me, Express to Success, 60-second responses or less. So we're talking about starting a business here. So in order for somebody to start a business, what should they envision or see for themselves first?
I think they need to find a void in their life and something that could be better in the world than that. And they need to envision that blowing up and that exploding, and understanding that if they have a problem or if they have a void or need and want in this world, then somebody else does too.
Right. They say that's the best way to create a business is to find the problem.
Yep.
Okay. So to explore then, what should they explore or how should they look into this for themselves?
What I did and what I think that anybody should do is do your proper due diligence. I mean, I had a small idea and I went out there and I was trying to fill a void in my own life. There's a million sock companies and there's a million underwear companies, but there was a void in how it was being sold. Go out there, find your void, do your due diligence, do your research, and study the landscape, and you will see if it's a viable option.
Okay, so then to execute a plan, what would the first baby step be in that right direction?
The most successful thing that you could do is file as a business. File that paperwork, because you're taking an idea and you're running with it. You know that you're going to do something with it. Like we said in the beginning of the show, people get caught in that fork in the road and then they don't do anything. When you file as a business, LLC, a partnership, whatever it is, that's your first step to success.
Okay, so Michael, closing advice for everybody. What's your most important final thought?
Love what you do. I never thought that I would work in fashion. I never thought that I'd be running a website. And I love what I do. And I love what I do because I found something that was applicable to me, something that I wanted. And then I found out that there's thousands and hundreds of thousands of people out there that also need that.
I'm curious, Michael. I'm curious to see if you stay with Basic Outfitters doing this for a long period of time, or if you sell that and start something new or run multiple companies. I'm curious to see how this pans out for you.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited too. I know I only see up, so I know that this is going to move forward, and our name says it all, Basic Outfitters. We could do anything with that. We could expand in so many different markets. So I'm really excited to see what the future holds.
I'm just curious to see, because I think you know what's going to happen with you is that you're going to get bored and need to be creative again. Even though you don't think you're creative, all entrepreneurs are creative.
Right, right. I mean, we have big plans for the future and what we can do with the website and our interface, and we wanna expand into different categories and women, and we'll see from there. I mean, I have my hands full right now, but we'll definitely see.
Yep, time does weird things for us. So, contact information. Now, I know your website, everybody can go there, basicoutfitters.com.
Yes.
Do you have an email address you'd like to share?
Contact me at CEO@basicoutfitters.com. Go figure, I'm president, but CEO@basicoutfitters.com. And I answer emails very quickly.
As we just discussed, you need to answer them more slowly.
Yes. Something I'm working on. We always have things to work on.
Now, are you on Facebook? Because I have a private group, Motivate Me Ultimate Support System, and people could reach out to you there and you can update them about what you're doing. Are you on Facebook or no?
Yeah, of course. And my business is on Facebook as well.
Okay. So we'll have to work that out and get you involved in that. It'd be awesome. I want to thank you so much for coming on the show. It was really, truly a pleasure meeting you today.
Pleasure's all mine. It was really nice speaking with you.
So this is the end of the show, Michael, and this is where I give my listeners a go do. So what do you think listeners should go do right now to get moving in this direction?
Find the void. Find something that you want and find the problem and find that solution and just see it through.
I like it. I like it a lot. That's it, everybody. Please remember, you motivate me. I'm Lynette Renda.